It's a great opportunity for people to learn how to prevent heart disease. It's also an opportunity for survivors to come out and celebrate. And it's a chance for people to remember those who lost their lives to heart disease and stroke.
And that's a big push here, is to try to get people to realize this impacts so many people, people they know, maybe people in their family. And you're wanting them to remember, recognize survivors and remember those who have been lost to these diseases.
That's right. Yeah, it's, you know, we give red hats for our heart survivors. We give white hats for our stroke survivors. We have tribute stickers available for people who are walking in honor of someone. And there's a lot of information out there about how to prevent heart disease and stroke, too. So, you know, it's a great family event. We have a lot of kids' activities. A lot of people bring their dogs. It's an event for all ages and all families.
I know there are people who may say, well, you know, does my support of these causes, does it really help? When I look back just in my lifetime, what I remember, and I had family members who have suffered from both heart disease and stroke, it's amazing the advances that have been made here. Paula, can you talk about some of that?
Sure. There has been huge advances in the treatment of heart disease. And one of the things we like to see is that we have early recognition. So we're trying to get the awareness out to the community that what signs and symptoms are, both for men and for women, because once they understand that and they can recognize that earlier, the earlier they get treatment, the less heart damage they have, the less deficits they may have from a stroke.
Are there differences between men and women when it comes to heart disease?
Well, there are some. Typically, the symptoms that we see for men and women, the primary symptom is chest pain. But for women, a lot of times we see other symptoms. We may see things like shoulder or back or neck discomfort, sometimes nausea and indigestion-type feelings, and many times shortness of breath or just an extreme fatigue, which may be a more prevalent symptom than the actual heart chest pain that we see in many men.
How do you know when it's time to go see the doctor? I mean, every time, you know, you hurt yourself with your back or something like that, you don't necessarily want to run to the doctor. You think it's going to go away. But when should you be concerned that this might be something more serious?
Well, if you have different type of symptoms like chest discomfort, a tightness, a pressure, a burning sensation, it may go into the arms, it may be in the neck or the jaw, or you may just feel it in the neck or the jaw. It could be in your back area. If you have these types of symptoms, especially if they come on with activity or if they come on and they don't go away in 5 or 10 minutes, then it's time to get treatment. If you have symptoms that come on and go, they're like just sporadic here and there, then that's a good time to call your doctor and get an appointment. But if the symptoms don't go away, we recommend that you call 911 and go to the emergency room.
We're talking with Paula Harwood, and we're also talking with Carrie Skogsberg, both here to discuss the 2015 Springfield Heart and Stroke Walk. Carrie, you have a goal of $100,000 you'd like to raise. What will that be? Yes. That money be used for?
The money that we raise through the Heart Walks goes to a number of different things, but mostly it goes toward research. Here in Illinois, we actually have funded $16 million in cardiovascular research just in the last year alone. We have a lot of studies going on over at U of I, a lot of studies going on in the Chicago area also. We also work hard to train both healthcare professionals and lay people in CPR. A lot of people don't realize that the American Heart Association develops the guidelines for CPR and AED training. So we've actually trained over 600,000 people in Illinois in the last year. We also work with hospitals and medical centers not accredit them, but we have like a recognition program called our Get With The Guidelines program, where we recognize them for following American Heart Association guidelines for treating heart disease and stroke patients. And then we also have a lot of advocacy work that we do. One of the bills that we worked really hard to pass in the last year was Lauren's Law, which is the legislation that requires all Illinois high schools to offer CPR training. So that was an effort that was really led by the American Heart Association. We worked closely with the Lehman family to get that passed. So, you know, every dollar does make a difference. We do have a goal of $100,000 at this point today. We've already raised $85,000. We've just had amazing support from the business community, from teams like the Memorial teams and St. John's also, and Blue Cross Blue Shield. We've had some really great participation from the local business community, building company teams, and those teams are all fundraising for the event.
Now, if somebody wants to join up or wants to maybe form a team, not sure how to do it. Again, if you can go through that for folks that might be interested.
Sure. You can go onto our website, which is springfieldilheartwalk.org. Be sure you put the IL in there or else you'll get Missouri. But you go on there and you can join underneath an existing company, or you can start your own community team. We do have a lot of community teams, too, who are walking in honor of, you know, maybe somebody who lost their life to heart disease, or maybe for somebody who is a survivor. So you can start your own team or join a company team. And through that, you can fundraise online. You can post social media messages through HeartWalk website. You can also collect physical donations, cash and checks, and you can turn it in that day at the walk. There is no fee to register for the walk. That's all free. But anybody who raises at least $100 does get a walk T-shirt after the event.
And Paula, having the having a walk, it really is symbolic, really, because it's getting exercise. It's a healthy, it's a low impact exercise too for people.
Right. Walking is probably one of the best exercises that you can do, and we encourage that for a lot of our patients. We will have a lot of our patients come out and participate in that. But we do want people to know too, if you are at the level where you can't walk a great distance, we have some alternatives. We have two laps, so there's a mile lap and there's a 3 mile lap, and then we will also have an area where you can just support those walkers who are out there fighting that fight against heart and stroke.
Mm-hmm. And we will have a tram there too, because we do know some people aren't able to walk, but they want to make that round. So we do provide that too.
These types of events also, like we'd mentioned before, bring people in many cases who have had been touched in some way by heart disease or by stroke. It would strike me that in some cases it gets pretty emotional.
Yeah, I remember last year at the walk too, there were some stroke survivors there who, you know, they couldn't walk very far, but they wanted to just walk across that finish line. And they were there with some of their, you know, people from the rehab department. And that was it. It was very emotional and just a really, really cool thing to see, because you knew that they were really working up toward that and wanted to accomplish that when they were there.
We'll remind people again on how to register and all of that. But before I let you guys go, if you could just talk briefly about what somebody out there who may be starting to get a little concerned for their own health, maybe they have a history of heart disease in their family, what should those people do if they have not taken any action so far?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first thing you need to do is get with your primary care provider. Have a discussion with them about what we call know your numbers. So we want you to know what your cholesterol is, what your blood pressure is, maybe your blood sugar. Diabetes is a strong risk factor for heart disease. And talk with your provider about what they can do to help decrease that risk. So whether it's stopping smoking, whether it's talking with a dietitian to get a better diet, whether it's an exercise program that you can either begin on your own by walking, or maybe joining a facility or club where you can get that partnership to help to increase your exercise level and your fitness. Those are all things that they can do to kind of start out. So you'll get a good evaluation from your physician whether heart disease is a problem now, but you'll also get a plan for the future, what I can do to really decrease that risk.